Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Another edition of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. And we are 2 days away, when you hear this, probably one day, just about 24 hours away from the Royal Rumble. And as always, I've got Norman Quarantine here from the Sportster to talk with me about the Rumble itself. Norman, how you doing?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited. This is like my favorite pay-per-view. The Royal Rumble is like, there's WrestleMania, which is awesome, but oftentimes WrestleMania is not as good as you hope. It's only been 1 year I've ever watched the Royal Rumble, which was last year, where it wasn't all that good.
And interesting.
The Royal Rumble is typically my favorite pay-per-view because there's tons of surprises. There's only a few matches, and they're usually pretty good. And there's always people coming back. And I love seeing nostalgia, you know, stars returning and stuff, even if it's for a one-time thing. So I'm super pumped. I'm really excited about the Rumble, especially with Triple H running things. Because you know, he's left half of the names out of this thing. Specifically because he wants us to all go, who the hell's coming?
Yeah.
Like who's showing up? And he's got my interest there. So what about you? Where's the Rumble rank for you?
It's pretty high up there. I've definitely had, I do think it's usually, even if the result isn't what you hope for, it's usually a pretty fun match. I do think there has been more like flop Rumbles than people care to remember these days. But then there's also been some that people said were flops that I didn't really mind that much. Like, I think about Batista winning in 2014 when everyone was super, super mad. I guess mostly mad that Daniel Bryan didn't win and wasn't. I think he wasn't even in it in that one, right?
No, everybody was waiting because he had a match earlier with Bray Wyatt and he lost it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to be number 30. He's going to be number 30. And people had psyched themselves up for like 15 picks, 15 entrants, thinking that Daniel Bryan would be number 30, and then he wasn't.
Right.
And I don't remember who was number 30.
It was Rey Mysterio, I think.
I don't remember, but
yeah,
I know say everybody was disappointed.
Yeah. And then Batista won, which I didn't think was that bad. And then ultimately we did end up getting a really fun WrestleMania situation. Like, his match with Triple H to open that WrestleMania is incredible. That's actually one of my favorite Mania matches, I think. And then the main events, the triple threat with Randy Orton and Batista is brilliant. I love that match too. Yeah, so I mean, we ended up
really well.
Yeah, so we ended up getting something good out of it, even if it was universally accepted as kind of a disappointing Rumble.
Well, I would go as far as to argue, had that not happened, I don't think the Daniel Bryan run happens.
Right.
Like, I don't think people get behind Daniel Bryan like they did in WWE when he was screwed out of the Rumble.
Right. That's true.
People legitimately felt like he was screwed out of it. Right. Yeah. Even though he was never mentioned to be in it. And he had lost earlier that evening to a guy that everybody was really psyched about in Bray Wyatt, who also kind of, not coincidentally, maybe went downhill after that match. People really got behind him after that. Right. The only things that I'll say when it comes to the Rumble that have been disappointing for me are when the 30 people that they use, like 10 of them aren't anybody even remotely you know, there's no chance they're going to win it. They're not.
Yeah.
They let you down instead of being like, oh, right on, seeing that person come back. I've watched a few of the Rumbles this week, like the older ones. And there were some, like, I think it was 1992 when Ric Flair won the championship. Mm-hmm. That Rumble had every single person was a big name. Everyone.
Who could have potentially won the whole thing, right?
Right. And then, but the year after, they had a bunch of people that you were like, eh. And then the year after that, there was like five or six people. You're like, there's no, who is this, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's people in here that you're like, man. And there was years where they had cross-promotional stuff that a lot of fans didn't know who they were. Like, those are a little disappointing to me, but I can get over that. Last year's was the one that I was really whatever about because they didn't really bring many people back. I think Shane McMahon was sort of said to have booked this one, and he kind of put himself over and just not, I don't know, it wasn't good. And so for me, not only am I excited about it, but I know it'll be better than last year. So
yeah,
I'm really kind of looking forward to it.
And there's also been a couple where, you know, the winner is someone that I think people are like pleasantly surprised by. But then that storyline doesn't really end up going anywhere. That certainly has happened way more often since there's been like when they have two titles, basically, yeah. Right? Because you often get the thing where the winner of the Rumble will be in the sort of undercard main title match. You know, like I think about the Shinsuke Nakamura.
I was just gonna say Shinsuke Nakamura comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly. That didn't really. I mean, that actually was an interesting year because Asuka won the Women's Rumble. And she ended up not going over at Mania as well. I was actually at that WrestleMania, and it was, I mean, it sucked the air out of the room both times. Asuka losing to Charlotte really sucked the air out of the room, or the stadium, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AJ Styles Nakamura match that everyone was really pumped for, they ended up just not really gelling at that time. And then obviously Styles ended up retaining anyway. So
is that the one where Nakamura turned heel?
Nakamura turned heel, yeah. And again, so that, yeah, I mean, those two matches actually all kind of almost, I mean, I had a lot of fun being in the stadium at watching that show, because we also got the Ronda Rousey, you know, tag match. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, those, that Asuka, Charlotte, and AJ Nakamura match, those kind of sucked the air out of the stadium.
Okay, here, let me ask you this. What would be the only thing that could disappoint you about this year's Rumble? So the way that it's set up with Triple H running things, with how the match is really wide open because they haven't announced half the competitors in the women's match. I think they've only announced like 7 people of the 30.
Right, which I quite like.
Sorry?
I quite like that they haven't announced.
It's good. It leaves you open to imagination, and there could be like, I believe that most of the Rumble will be filled by most of the women's roster that's active, but I think there could be as many as 6 or 7 people we haven't seen in a long time that come in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in a minute when we talk about that match specifically. But what's the one thing that you're kind of like, man, if they don't do this, or if they do this, I'm going to be kind of disappointed.
I want whoever wins both Rumbles. I want it to really matter. I want it to actually culminate in something big and important that people are going to remember for a long time. You know, whether that means Cody Rhodes winning and ultimately fulfilling that dream at WrestleMania, or Sami Zayn, if potentially we can get some. I know people think it's kind of hard it's kind of hard to sort of speak about Sami Zayn beating Roman Reigns because people are so... people just don't. I don't think a lot of people are like buying it in a way. But I do think it is possible that they can do that, and that it will be, and it can be done well.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Sami Zayn's getting he's over as hell right now. You know, he's involved in you know, one of the most engaging storylines they've got going on. You know, consistently one of the most entertaining people on the roster. So I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that he wins and beats Roman. So I want it to matter, and I just hope that it, you know, delivers it as a match. I also hope that Kevin Dunn or whoever is in charge of the camera stuff doesn't make as many botches as they have been in recent years, right?
Yeah, like catching Edge, you know, delivering the spear and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Well, the AJ Styles debut too, remember that? God, just awful.
Yeah,
figure that out. Hopefully it's shot better than some of the previous things. I just want it to be a good match, just a good match that matters. And I want it to be, when we get down to the final four or whatever, it's not painfully obvious who's going to win. I love it when it gets to the final four and it could be any one of the people that could win it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Normally they have remember that time there was when it was like down to Rusev and Roman as the last two or whatever? You know, not
pretty obvious at that point what's happening. Yeah,
exactly. You know what's gonna, you know what's going down, and nobody really wanted Roman to win, but at that point, but nobody thought that Rusev was going to win either. So it was kind of, it was, you know, yeah, it was, it, we were screwed either way. But yeah. Yeah. So I just want it to be, I just want it to be a solid, entertaining match to, with where it actually means something, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Both
I think
matches, but, and the women's, that applies to the women's match too.
Yeah. No, I think there's, I think this, we're now, we probably have some obvious people that we think are going to win, some favorites. That we assume will probably have really good odds at this, and that may be how it goes down, but you never know. There's potential here for some surprises. So let's go through the card a little bit, and you know, we'll talk about it. Do you want to do the matches, the Rumbles matches last, or do you want to do them first?
Save those for last, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. There is some chatter here that Sami Zayn could get involved in this match somehow. He is the teasers and the linked graphic designs for Elimination Chamber have Sami Zayn in the chamber. So we're assuming that he is probably somehow either going to be placed in there by Roman Reigns, or he's going to be a competitor in there and maybe have a shot at Roman Reigns at some point, either in that match or after that match. So I don't know. I mean, they're talking about what to do with these titles leading into WrestleMania. Is there any shot here that Kevin Owens walks away with one of these belts?
Well, that's a tough one, yeah, because so both they're both on the line, right? It's for the Undisputed WWE.
That's what
Universal.
It says, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And there's some talk that Roman or Triple H wants to divide them and say, okay, you're competing for this one, you're competing for this one. He's yet to say that when it comes to a Roman Reigns match, but we rarely have, the Usos defend their titles all the time, but Roman Reigns only defends his title at massive shows, and it's been a little bit. So, yeah, I'm assuming that both belts would be on the line here.
Yeah, so I don't really, barring an absolute crazy swerve that no one sees coming, I feel like if Owens were to win, it would kind of derail a lot of the road to WrestleMania plans. This match is kind of, obviously, like, I know, I'm sure this match will be good. These two do have really good chemistry. They've actually, if you actually go back and look at the times they've interacted in the ring together, they almost always have good chemistry and put on a good show. And obviously, like earlier on in this monster reign of Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens was really good fodder. And I think there was a couple of moments there where it looked like he might actually end up walking away with the title, but he never did. But in many ways, Kevin Owens actually kind of launched the monster status of Roman's title reign, and sort of solidified it and made it the kickstarted the sort of formidable nature that we now know it as. But yeah, I don't think there's a chance that KO is going to win, which is, you know, disappointing when you have a match like that and you just know that it's only going to go one way. So I do hope there's some other stuff going on. Like you said, the Sami Zayn situation, I hope they can, you know, we know that this match is, you know, we know Roman's leaving with the titles. So hopefully they can at least use this match to further some other narrative situations.
Yeah, I think Friday SmackDown will be one to really set that up. Like, if WWE can walk away from SmackDown having done anything right, it's that they've somehow successfully put doubt in people's minds that Roman Reigns is going to be the given winner here. Like, I think you're right. It's been hard to imagine heading into WrestleMania that Roman Reigns goes there without a title or without both titles. So I don't imagine that Kevin Owens is going to win this thing. That said, you want people to believe either one, that it's possible, or two, Sami Zayn's got something up his sleeve and he's a little annoyed or something, right? Like, some sort of development comes out of this match that you're like, well, this needs to be a must-watch match. The match itself is going to be great. Like, the wrestling, like you said, is going to be really good. But you want some sort of doubt in there that this is going to go Roman Reigns' way. They've done a decent job. Like, on Raw, they talked about Sami needing to prove himself through the trial court of Sami Zayn, and he's going to not show up until the Rumble. But are we expecting Sami Zayn to be on SmackDown on Friday? I probably am, right? Like, even though he was told not to show up. So something's going on there. We'll see. But yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be Roman Reigns. Raw Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss. I'm probably going to stick with Bianca Belair here. It's possible Alexa Bliss has some way of pulling this out, especially if Uncle Howdy or whatever gets involved. But I'm more leaning towards the idea that this Uncle Howdy or Bray Wyatt or whatever possesses Alexa Bliss isn't going to help her. It's actually going to cost her the title, and it's probably going to hurt her. Who are you thinking takes this one?
Yeah, Bianca. Yeah, again, this is kind of actually now that I'm looking at it, this is kind of the undercard here is a little bit it's very weak, really. I mean, like we said, KO Roman's going to be a good match, but we know how it's going. We know this match doesn't really do anything for me at all. And then we'll get to the other match a little bit later. But yeah, I think Bianca wins this one. Alexa, I don't know what it is. I feel like she kind of, I personally feel like she hasn't really fully recovered from the initial sort of Bray Wyatt storyline stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see. I don't know if you just heard it, but my Amazon Echo just just perked up because we're talking about the wrestler's name, A Bliss. Bianca's gonna win, and I don't know where. I'm just not super interested in this match, to be honest. I think they're better. I do like Miss Bliss, but I think there are much better opponents for Bianca at this point.
Yeah, if I could figure out how they're connecting all the dots between Bliss, Bray Wyatt, Uncle Howdy, whatever's going on here, I would be more into this. But so far, I have not been able to do that. Like,
well, can we use Bray Wyatt a lot? But I'm lost. We can use that as a segue to the other match, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
The lights out match with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt. We have no idea what to expect here. I think Michael Cole did say something about how you would determine a winner. I can't remember exactly what he said, but we really don't know what this is going to be. The last we've seen of this, their build up for this was LA Knight being in the ring with The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt at Raw 30, which I thought was a pretty cool segment, but it didn't help us when it comes to what this match is going to look like or what we should expect from it. The Firefly Funhouse and the Eater of Worlds and the Fiend, I'm assuming we're going to see some version of Bray Wyatt here. If not all of the versions of Bray Wyatt, whether it's the Wyatt 6 or whatever the case might be, something's coming up here that they're setting this up for some sort of big reveal. No idea what to expect from the match, but I do expect to walk away even more confused than I already was. So what are you thinking? What is a Mountain Dew black? What's it called?
Pitch black match. Yeah. Well, so none of us know what it is. So that's one. I love to just go into a premium live event, not knowing how the rules of the matches work. Just love that. Honestly, like, I don't want to turn this into an entire rant. This could probably be a podcast on its own, but I've been extremely disappointed with this Bray Wyatt run so far. If you can even call it a run. None of it makes any sense. People are clutching at straws trying to make this gobbledygook add some kind of narrative to it. There isn't. They're making it up as they go along. They don't have a plan. They've never had a plan. It's Bruce Pritchard or whoever is just like making stuff up as they go along. It's like when it's I don't want to compare it to Lost, but you remember that show Lost was like, and you know, eagerly anticipating that, having all these threads wrapped up and there being everything being tied neatly together and all these like plot twists and everyone being able to go like, oh, it all came together in the end and we know what, and they were making up as they go along, and they never had an end. They never had like an ending pre-planned. That's what this is. Nobody knows what's like. People, if you look on Twitter, a lot of, you know, usually vehemently pro WWE anti AEW accounts are like desperately trying to kind of like turn this, act like this has been all part of some well-written long-term storytelling scheme, and it has not been. It doesn't make any, none of it ever makes any sense. I'm telling you, they didn't know who Uncle Howdy was going to be when they created the character Uncle Howdy. They probably still don't know, right? I'm sure we still don't know who's portraying that person. Like, there are rumors and stuff. Don't be surprised if whoever it ends up actually being isn't the person who's been portraying that character for the last few weeks. The Alexa Bliss stuff, I thought we were done with that. They're just roping her back in, and it's not doing her any favors personally, I don't think. And Bray Wyatt deserves so much better. Like, I think I actually like him. Like, we've talked about on the podcast before about how when he was in his cult, the backwards cult leader thing, And that, and how he was mostly well booked and was delivering, you know, nonsensical but sort of charismatic and engaging promos. He's just, I don't know what he needs to do to get them to book him properly. And so yeah, the run, this run since he came back at, when he come back, was it Extreme Rules last year or
I think that's what it was.
Everyone was so excited because they did this big elaborate entrance thing. They did this big elaborate return thing with all these people, you know, dressed up as the characters from the Funhouse, and it was ultimately it didn't mean anything, right? And yeah, when you go on Twitter and try to, you know, voice the fact that none of this makes any sense, people get very very upset with you. But I'm telling you guys, it doesn't make any sense. It never has. They never knew what they were doing with this. They still don't know what they're doing with this. You're not going to be satisfied at the end of this, I promise you.
Well, I'll agree with you on one thing, and I'm going to hopefully, fingers crossed, disagree with you on two things. One, I'm with you on the fact that it has been very confusing and I have not, you know, super enjoyed it. Like I've been watching it and thinking, man, tie this together somehow, and they've yet to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what any of this stuff means. I don't know why they're using, who they're using, what they're using, where it all sort of connects the dots. They have not done that yet. And they've often had him come in and make promos that just ramble on and don't make any sense. So where I will maybe disagree with you is I think that they think they have a plan. Like I believe that in the production value of the things that they're doing, because it requires a lot of pre-planning to even produce these segments, that they have thought things through about what they want to do. That said, will they tie it together well, that we will all understand it when it's said and done? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure that when we've seen everything that we're going to see, because I believe, like, he's shown the Eater Worlds thing, and then he's shown the Funhouse thing, and then he's shown, you know, the real true Bray Wyatt. I think there's something there that they're leading up to. I don't know what it is, and I'm not 100% sure that when we see the final end result that we're all going to have tied this as neatly together as they hoped we would, right? That I'm not sure what. The other thing I will say is I know that you are like feeling really sorry for Bray Wyatt. I blame Bray Wyatt in a lot of this.
Okay.
Right? Because I believe that he, and Triple H just said it, he did an interview with Ariel Helwani where he said, look, I love Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt is the kind of person who has so many creative ideas that you have to work to rein him in. And he, when worked with properly and two minds meet together and you can come up with something that works, then it works great. But Bray Wyatt can get off on these tangents where he goes and he works on something. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, that's old. I have this even better idea. Oh, man, this new one's even perfect. Like, if you let Bray Wyatt run his own show, it would be even more confusing than it is right now. I think if he were to have total control over what he's doing, we wouldn't follow any of it.
Right.
Like,
okay.
So lost. That we'd like, oh, so I think there's probably a struggle here between the people who work with him, what he wants to do creatively, all these ideas that are running through his head, that you can't, you gotta put a rein on him a little bit, right? Because he'll run wild with it to the point where we're all lost, like just like even WWE or whatever, which I think is what it's starting to feel like right now. So I'm with you. Like it's confusing. I don't know, but I am holding out hope. I am crossing my fingers that there's a plan to all this and that there is some sort of way to try to tie this together.
Yeah. To be clear, I hope that I'm wrong and I will eat dirt if, you know, I will gladly hold my hands up and admit defeat if I am wrong. And I hope I am wrong. I want this to pay off. I want this to be good. I want wrestling to be fun. I do, but so far nothing that they've done with Bray. And I actually think Bray, like I've said before, I actually think he's better in the ring than a lot of people give him credit for. I think he's working with the right person and with the right producer, I think he's capable of having like very enjoyable in matches that don't need all the sort of, you know, crazy extra stuff. But yeah, and also a Mountain Dew pitch black match is a bit, I love Mountain Dew, I love me some soda, I'm a soda fiend. I was, when I first moved to America, I was so excited to drink Mountain Dew for the first time, and I love it. But I think Mountain Dew having Mountain Dew sponsor this match is kind of weirdly delegitimizes it for me a little bit.
It does. It is a strange decision. Like, I get why they're doing it. It's all financial and it's a sponsor for the show, but how they're connecting, I mean, yes, it's a pitch black brand of Mountain Dew or whatever they're calling Mountain Dew Black or whatever the actual soda is that they're selling here. you can connect it, but how it ties in to, like, if there's a bunch of Mountain Dew logos throughout this match, I mean, it's going to be super lame, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I was saying to you before we got on here, if, as long as it isn't as bad as that Army of the Dead or Army of Dark or whatever the Batista movie was that they were promoting with the Miz and the zombies, like, that was really bad. So just don't do that. Don't get lost. And I think they won't. I think if Triple H is able to somehow figure out, okay, how do we work this in? Is it simply just a sponsor? Let's do what we need to do creatively. But I think Vince was probably like, okay, well, we have this deal. We had a lot of, you know, money tied up in this partnership. We'll just put the zombies in there. We'll just, you know, I don't think he cared. He just was like, quick buck, let's go. But I hope that Triple H and whoever's writing this and producing this match does not do that. But we'll see. All right. Just so we have enough time to do it, let's get to the two Royal Rumble matches. We'll start with the women's match. So far, we have, what, all of seven people, seven females that are lined up for this thing. Rhea Ripley's in there. We assume she's probably the favorite at this point to win it, simply because the lack of other entrants. I know there's, like, Liv Morgan's in there and Emma's in there, and you could probably name a couple others, but there's a lot of people who have not been named for this thing yet. We're hearing no Ronda Rousey. She's probably not going to be at the pay-per-view. But we're also hearing a ton of other names that could pop up in this match, including an article I wrote today. Nia Jax is rumored for this thing, which I'm shocked by.
Yeah.
If that's even remotely accurate, I'm kind of like, I'm not the biggest Nia Jax fan. So
no, I mean, neither am I. You're not alone.
The case, but
yeah, yeah.
Who do you think wins the little that we know and who's in this? Shayna Baszler is another. Who wins?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I couldn't tell you, honestly. It would be cool. I would like, I can see Raquel Rodriguez winning it, right? I think, I don't know if she considered one of the favorites.
Well, from the seven that are listed, she certainly would be, right?
Yeah.
She's also one of the freshest in terms of experience. And it'd be, so here's the question that I would ask. Who do you see going to WrestleMania?
Right.
So you've got Charlotte Flair as a SmackDown Women's Champion. You've got Bianca Belair as a Raw Women's Champion. I don't assume either one of those two things will change prior to WrestleMania. So whoever wins, who do you want to wrestle? One of those two people.
Yeah.
That's how I look at the winner. That's why I would say Rhea Ripley, right? Because she is she's on the biggest roll right now. Her momentum is only on the upward trend. Like, she's really doing well. And I could see her wrestling either one of those two people.
Yeah.
And
she did win a title at WrestleMania, right? A couple of years back. Didn't she beat Asuka for the Raw women's title at Mania?
It's a good question. I know she wrestled Charlotte and lost, and then I'm not sure who else she wrestled. And whether or not she won the title, but yeah, she's definitely due. Like, she's so hot right now in terms of her character and how well she's gotten over with Judgment Day. Like, she's kind of, other than Dominic being a very entertaining heel that, you know, thinks he's, you know, super prison bad guy and he isn't. Rhea Ripley's the standout of that group. So to me, that's who I would have go in there. But
yeah,
we don't know about 23 other people. So
yeah, I could see Rhea winning it. I could also see Liv Morgan winning it. I do think that she's run out of steam a little bit since losing the title to Ronda. But yeah, I could see that getting a good react. You know, who's going to get the biggest pop if they win out of everybody on the roster? We might even see a few people come back, and maybe someone who returns will win. But yeah, I could see Liv or Rhea winning it. Candice LeRae is going to be in it too. That would be nice, but I can't see it personally.
Yeah.
Maybe someone from NXT. You know,
like, to me, the one surprise would be Naomi. Like, if she does return to WWE and they're holding this off and trying to figure it out for the Royal Rumble, she would be probably my second pick. Like, because I don't think Mercedes Moné or Sasha Banks come back. I don't think this happened. But Naomi is possible. And Naomi, Rhea Ripley being the two final women to be in that, I think would be cool. And I wouldn't know who would win of those two people, because there's a real whatever for Naomi to get to go over there if she were to return. So that would be my other pick. But yeah, I have no idea.
I do. Yeah. And then just to quickly touch on the Nia Jax thing, I think that's, I don't know who, let's assume that that's true and that they are planning on bringing her back. I don't know who that's for. I don't think there are there any Nia Jax fans. I don't know. You know, yeah, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. She's not vaccinated either, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, and it would be a one-time thing for sure. Like, I cannot see them giving her a contract and having her return on a regular basis. I mean, who knows? But it would be a nostalgia thing. But I don't know that there's a lot of nostalgia surrounding Nia Jax. You know what I mean? Like, nostalgia usually indicates people are excited to see them return. I'm not sure that
that's maybe the Bayley. Case maybe Bayley will win it.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I mean, she's certainly she's up there in terms of you know, the top five, and Becky Lynch obviously is a favorite too. Okay, the men's Royal Rumble match. We don't know about half of the competitors in this thing, but the ones we do, there's some pretty big boys in that match. Omos, Braun Strowman. I mean, there's a lot of people. Cody Rhodes is the favorite to win right now, but you got Lashley in there. I think Brock Lesnar is probably going to be in there based on Raw 30 and the way that that show ended, but I don't know. It's not been announced. I've hearing rumors that he'll be number one and Lashley be number two. There's potentially, you know, talk of the Hurt Business reforming during this. I have no idea. I think there's a lot that we can expect to see in this match that we're not ready for, which has really got me excited about it. And I do believe that we could see some surprises here too, whether it's like a Matt Cardona, a Zack Ryder, or somebody else coming back. I'm guessing that's possible. We've heard a lot of people say that they were willing to come back. Rob Van Dam said he'd be open to it. John Morrison said he'd be open to it. Don't know if any of those people have been invited. So knowing what we know of the people that are in this, do you have a prediction here?
Yeah, I do think Cody is going to win it. I think that makes the most sense. I think the story, I do wish, like, I mean, it, like, we could have guessed anyway that he would be coming back. I do wish they hadn't announced it, but I get why they did. Yeah, I could see Cody. I think Cody, maybe Rollins. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Cody, I think. I can't really see who else. We've got a lot of people. We've got a few people in there who have already won, right? Drew McIntyre has won one, right?
Yep.
Sheamus has won. Rollins, did Rollins, has Rollins,
yes,
Rollins
won a Rumble? Yes, I think he's won one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so I'm guessing it'd be funny if Dominic won, wouldn't it?
it would be. I would put him in there for a lot longer than people expect. I certainly wouldn't have him win. But if you could find crafty ways of him getting around being eliminated, or go the exact opposite and have him walk in there all cocky and then booted right away. Is Sami Zayn officially announced for this thing? Like, I don't think he is, right?
He's not
been listed. That would be my other pick. If he somehow winds up in the Rumble and then he accidentally, you know, accidentally, I'm doing air quotes, I know that nobody can see me, but if somehow he's supposed to lay down for the Bloodline and eliminate himself or whatever the case is so that he's not facing Roman Reigns, or if he does win, he's not expected to pick Roman Reigns, but he does. Like, there's an interesting storyline there. Like, I would be very intrigued to see how they would handle that. So if Sami Zayn is in this match, he then becomes maybe my second favorite to win it, because I think he's on such a roll. And like you said earlier, he's so popular. He's so over with the fans that people would lose their minds. They would go crazy if Sami Zayn won this thing. So, and I think that's good for WWE to consider that, right? If you know that the response is going to be that people lose their minds over in a positive way for Sami Zayn winning, you got to consider it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But he's not in it yet, so we don't even know if that's happening, right? So, but yeah, if he's not supposed to show up till the Rumble, and he does, oh, and by the way, I'm in it, that'd be pretty interesting. Like,
yeah,
I'd be all over that. What are you expecting here? Do you think this is going to be a way up there in terms of really positive, fun Royal Rumbles? You had already mentioned you don't really like the undercard so much. We don't know what to expect from the two. Are you thinking this is going to turn out to be one of the better Royal Rumbles? Or are you kind of like, I'm hoping it is, but I'm not real confident it will.
You know what? My expectations aren't super high. And that normally when that's the case, I end up being like, you know, surprised and enjoying it. So yeah, I'm not, I really have no idea what to expect this time. I haven't seen that many rumors about returns. I would like to see a couple of surprises. Maybe The Rock shows up. Maybe The Rock's in the Rumble. Maybe The Rock wins the Rumble.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, like, which, you know, is I think it's pie in the sky. I don't know. I personally think, like, okay, here's the thing. If we don't see The Rock at the Rumble, then I don't think we see The Rock until next year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily saying he's going to be in the match, but if we don't see him at this event, or hear from him at this event, then I don't think it's happening.
Yeah. Well, we're forgetting too, like, Austin's been rumored around this thing somewhere. Like, he's in great shape, and talking about a huge offer to him, apparently.
Number four. Could he make it four Rumbles?
Yeah, who knows, right? There's Randy Orton. Although we assume his injuries are still too whatever. Edge, we don't know what's going on with him. Like, there are a lot of names, big names, like legends that are still maybe potentially going to wrestle a WrestleMania match that I haven't been connected to this pay-per-view yet, like loosely by insiders and rumors, you know, and dirt sheets and stuff, but nobody has said in WWE or hinted that any of these four, you know, and these are some pretty big names. And we got Riddle, who's been out for a bit. Like, there's a lot of names here that could be coming back and be entrants here. And the talk is that they told us about Cody Rhodes because they have a ton of things planned. Like, that there's so many surprises that they're figuring, why would we need one more in Cody Rhodes? Let's tell everybody the story's already written. Let's do it. And the other surprises will more than make up for it. So yeah. I'm hoping that's the case.
Just sidebar, did you remember that Brock Lesnar and Ronda Rousey won last year's Rumbles? Because I completely forgot about both of that, both of those.
Well, I remember Lesnar did. Only because I think people were surprised that he was in it. And then, then he won it. And it was like, oh, great. There was a lot of people. It was like the half. Some half loved it. And some were like, oh, man, here we go again. Right. It was Lesnar. The Rousey one I remember, too, because she made a surprise return late in the thing and won that, too. I think both of them were surprise entrants that won.
Yeah.
And were, people were not necessarily pleased.
No, that's correct. Yeah.
So that was kind of a bit of a whatever. But
and then I also kind of forgot about the Thunderdome Rumble, the Edge. I remember the Edge and Bianca won, but I totally forgot about that being in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, that was a weird one. The Rumble, I didn't love it because there's no reaction, right? Half the beauty of the Rumble is when you count down and there's a live countdown and everybody's chanting from 10 to 1 and then the shock of who comes out. Like, I'm not sure there'll ever be a moment like when AJ Styles returned or debuted and when Edge returned. Like, those pops were so incredible that if you don't have it in front of a live audience, you don't get any of that. And it changes the Rumble for me, right? But I think there'll be a lot of that this year. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of like, oh my God, I can't believe this person's back, or we did not see that coming, or whatever. And that's what makes the Rumble so much fun for me, is that. The only downside is like the last year when they didn't have anybody return and you're like, man, I was building myself up for this and nothing really happened. So that was a bummer, but I'm thinking that'll be better this year.
Yeah. All right. I hope so.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out. We got just under 48 hours before that happens. So we'll do it. But anybody who's listening to this can absolutely keep up with us on thesportster.com. We're going to have all the stories and talk and speculation and chatter heading into the pay-per-view, the premium live event. So you can go to thesportster.com, check it all out. Do us a favor, download, subscribe, share this wherever you listen to your podcast. We'd greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the Royal Rumble, everybody. Norman, you too. We'll talk to everybody on the next one. Probably do a reaction podcast to the pay-per-view. We didn't talk any AEW, but we'll probably do that on the next show too. So thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic one. Enjoy the Rumble. We'll talk to you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.